for the, to the website and technology, as I said yesterday, so this is for the website. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
Again, what a beautiful morning to begin in worshiping God and being together here and begin our day with a blessing and with a hope coming from God, from heaven. So this is a wonderful way to begin our day. You know, to be honest with you, I am a bishop or an archbishop or whatever. I don't feel myself a real bishop unless I am serving the divine liturgy behind the altar. So that's why many places, in monasteries, in patriarchates, in churches, we serve the divine liturgy daily. We cannot breathe, we cannot live unless we serve and we commune every day. This is the normal thing. It's too hard for people, you know, like work, they have to get up early, they have to commute, they have to be in the traffic forever. So we cannot have the people come 5 o'clock, for example, every morning to church for the divine liturgy. It's hard. But I'm saying about us clergy, this is a normal thing. This is not unusual for to be behind the altar daily. And this is the most beautiful thing, you know, like I experience, for example, when I serve the divine liturgy, I experience heaven on earth. We don't have to die to go to after death, you know. So we can experience life, the real life, the kingdom of heaven, the life in the kingdom of heaven, in paradise, from now, at this moment. Beloved in Christ, Father Mel, Father Gregory, Father Fotios, we have a blessing, you know, like to have Father Fotios here. You know, thank God, every time I check on this holy community, I ask Father Mel about how's Father Fotios doing. He is fine, he is in good shape, and so I rejoice, I am happy. I am happy, he is part of this family. Do you feel it? Do you pray for him? Is he praying for you? So good to have you, Father Fotios. Where is he? This appears.
He's resting.
Okay, he's resting. So thank God for him and for all those years he served faithfully in many places. And finally, he is retired in this area. And thank you to all of you for showing him, you know, all the love and all the respect and all the dignity he deserves to have from you. And with us today, the two deacons, Deacon Philip and Deacon James from St. Paul in Linwood in Seattle. So they made every effort to be with us here today, and I am thankful to them. You know, I welcome all the visitors as well today. I know that there are visitors, but I know a couple who came all the way from St. Andrew Church in Arlington, Seattle. So we have two dear couple, Bill Shukalis and his wife, his beautiful wife, Judy, and they are with us today. Judy, are you hiding somewhere? Good morning. So they are very active in the church, whether in the local church or in the diocese in general. Bill is the chair of the Order of St. Ignatius, you know, like the West and in the national, you know, on the national level. He will speak to us at the very end when I induct Curie and Presbytera Carroll into the Order of St. Ignatius. When you see people with red ribbons and crosses and everything, so they are members in the Order of St. Ignatius. We have over 5,000 members. And all the support in this archdiocese mostly coming from the Order of St. Ignatius. Imagine if we didn't have the Order of St. Ignatius, this archdiocese won't be, you know, like, cannot function. So all the offices, all the ministries, and this Order of St. Ignatius has helped during the tribulations, during the time of difficulty, during the time of tragedies. So they help big, big time, you know, like the budget they spent over the years, over $20 million. So he will tell us more about the order at the very end. So beloved in Christ, today, this beautiful day will inspire us by the commemoration of Saint Innocent, the patron and protector of this holy community. You know, there is no church in the Orthodox Church without a name. Like any one of us has a name, a Christian name. Some of us, you know, have like a secular name and a Christian name. That is fine, but mostly, you know, like my name, you know, from birth was Joseph, and I don't need like two names. So, but when someone has no Christian name in the baptism or in the chrismation, we give him a Christian name to be protected by that name. Like everyone has a patron saint to protect him. You know, God has made the archangels and the angels. You know, we don't see them. These are spirits. They are not like us. They don't eat, they don't breathe, they don't, you know, like sleep. They are the sleepless, you know, we call them. So therefore, each one of us has his own angel or archangels to protect him, beside like his patron saint. So now you cannot see him. When you go everywhere, even when we commit something evil, imagine, when we commit something wrong, the angel is with us. But we don't listen. We don't listen. So that's why, you know, like, there is a lot of freedom in Christianity. The real meaning of freedom, even when we make something wrong, they don't stop us. But we pay the consequences. And we can correct that in repentance. The only way we can correct our evil and our mistake and our thing in repentance. When we have a genuine and authentic and real and honest repentance. Yesterday I started my teaching, you know, telling you about Saint Innocent. This metropolitan, this hierarch, this archbishop, this bishop, if you like, because the same, you know, like the same. When I met yesterday with the youth in the morning, they asked me about vestments, they asked me about the black. After liturgy, I am in black. So, what's this mean? What's that mean? You know, and so forth. So I start teaching them about that. Look what I heard from a little girl in one of the churches. She said, Sayyidina, when you are vesting, the more you put vestments on you, the more you disappear. So my homily today is about that. 9 years old said to the bishop this. You know, we learn the theology not at school and at universities and at colleges. We learn the theology from people like this little girl. You know, what we study in at school and at the university, that is, we call it theoretical theology. Just like we memorize some lines, we read some books, but the practical theology comes from the people who live their faith, who practice their faith, who experience their faith, who enjoy the faith and keep it from one generation to another. You know, how did the church, you know, survive? Because of the faithful over the generations, over the centuries. You know, imagine how many heresies attacked the church. Many religions, you know, died. You know, we don't hear about them anymore. But Orthodoxy is still alive. How? Because the people who live and experience the faith kept it this way. And this is a very, you know, like a very natural thing. This is a real thing. This is a very healthy thing. You know, we cannot say, like some clergy in my diocese, after receiving communion for many years and being ordained and receiving communion, they said, Sayyidna, please laicize us, we don't believe in Orthodoxy anymore. It happened. It happened over the years. And some people said to me, Your Grace, we don't believe in Orthodoxy anymore. We don't believe that Orthodoxy can bring salvation to us. These real words from the people and from clergy whom I lay aside. So many people, you know, go astray after many years receiving communion, like Judas, you know, like Judas was part of the Last Supper. Jesus washed his feet. Jesus gave him, communed him. He gave him his body and his blood. But Judas betrayed Jesus. So he could not stay with Jesus and with the disciples anymore. So he made the choice. So many people make their choices. So, beloved in Christ, the church will continue forever. The church is not the building. We can survive without iconography. But the iconography helps us, you know, like, understand our faith more and more. So the church is not the building. The church is not the vestments. You know, one day we have red, one day we have blue, one day we have... That is good. Part of the history. But look at, like, for example, St. Innocent. Yesterday, a question was, what's the difference between being in black or... So his hat is like white. Why? Because all the Russian tradition, you know, came 1,000 years later than the Antiochian tradition. So that's why, you know, like, we have, like, to go through stages, like history. So every country, every time, everything has its own culture. But it doesn't harm, doesn't affect the spirituality and the piety. You see, we have something external and we have something very spiritual and related to the piety. So we have to distinguish between this and that. Talking about hierarchs, like St. Innocent today. Look, this beautiful teaching. Today I will leave the gospel reading, you know, like to the priest here to teach you in some other day. So today my focus is on the epistle reading. To the Hebrews, St. Paul, epistle to the Hebrews. Brethren, such a high priest. High priest means like hierarch. So, brethren, such a high priest was fitting for us. Who is holy? He is holy. Harmless. Look, all these, you know, like, are adjectives, if you like, or something, you know, like, we expect her to have all these, you know, like beautiful names. So he is holy, harmless, and defiled, separate from sinners. Separate from sinners. Has nothing to do with sin. And become higher than the heavens. So that's why I said, you know, about yesterday, one of the questions. Look at this rug. Brown rug. You know, it has a big bird, an eagle, and he flies over a church. Like a church. So the hierarchy, you know, like stands on this because he is to be like Jesus himself, the only hierarchy. You know, yesterday when you asked me about politics, about, you know, like I was hesitant, I was a little bit, you know, because this is not my area. I don't vote. I don't talk about politics. This is not my area whatsoever. My only area, my only ministry is to love God and to love all the people of God everywhere and in any language or in any accent or in any, at any time. This is the only ministry I have. So the hierarchy has the power. Yesterday, another question about this step. Two dragons, power, authority. But what kind of power I have over you? Nothing. Just the power of love. The power of to serving you, to minister to you, to give you guidance at all times. This is my only ministry. I don't have any other ministry. So that's why the bishop in the Orthodox Church is not married. Why? Because he is married to the ministry. He is married to the church. He is married like, means like marriage, we don't understand like human marriage. But it means that he is committed at all time to love the people and minister to them and serve them and lead them and guide them and even ready to wash their feet. This is, we learn what we learn from the master, right? We learn from the high priest, the real high priest, the one who is above the heavens. So beloved in Christ, every time I visit this holy community, I give you some teaching that to draw your attention that the church is not a building. Forget about the building. Beautiful building. Whether it's a cathedral or small or big or, you know, forget. Now we belong to the real building, which is in heaven. That is our kingdom. That is our focus. That is our dream, but to be in heaven. So separate from sinners and has become higher than the heavens. Who does not need daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifices? Because he has become the sacrifice. He doesn't offer sacrifices like blood and meat and bread and whatever. Because he himself has become the sacrifice. You know, when I go now in a few seconds after my teaching, I go there to complete the sacrament there. He is the high priest. He is the sacrifice. He is the only sinless one. So that's why he accepted to become the sacrifice. First, for his own, he doesn't need to offer the sacrifices. First, for his own sins, like me, for example, when I serve here, so I offer the sacrifice for my own sins. But he is not. He is the only sinless one. He doesn't need to offer up sacrifices first for his own sins and then for the people's. You know, the people looking at him, the more they look at him, the more they repent, they talk to him, they obey him, they follow his teaching, So they become perfect, they become repentant, they become, you know, like forgiven. For this he did once the sacrifice. It explains itself. For this he did once for all when he offered up himself. He has become the sacrifice. So he offered himself. You know, I offer bread now, bread and wine, for the sacrifice. But he himself offered, you know, like his own life, his body. You know, when they crucified him, for example, you know that beautiful, that God, Father, forgive them because they know not, you know, what they are doing. So he didn't like retaliate, he didn't like offend them, he didn't say any word, because he has come, he chose that, he has come for this moment. So let's go back to what I started, you know, like that little girl, Sayyidina, the more you put vestments, the more you disappear. Beloved in Christ, forgive my face, or forget my face, forgive my weakness. I am not him. I am not him. So I have to disappear and he has to appear. I have to decrease and he has to increase. You know, all of us the same. All of us the same here at this moment. The church is about two people. And when we read the Bible, you know, the Bible is not a book. You know, those who read the Bible as a few pages and as a book, they make a big mistake. You know, the Bible is the person in the book. The Bible is the person in the book, Jesus Christ in the book. He has not written any book. You know, he didn't write the gospel. He inspired, the Holy Spirit inspired the evangelist to write his life. But he has not written any book. He put himself through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in this book. So that's why when we read, or the more we read the Bible, the more we communicate with the person in the book. Make sense? So the divine liturgy is a communication between heaven and earth, a reconciliation between heaven and earth. So when we are in the service, you know, don't get tired of this. You know, do as much as you can. Do the best you can. You will not get the kingdom of God in one day or one year or one century or one age or one whatever. So take it easy. Take it easy. You know, I said in Alaska 3 years ago, I am the only person in Alaska at that time when I was there in Christmas, the only one who was born Orthodox. But this is not a like to be prideful of. I said that to tell them that if we call the people converts, I am one of the converts. Even I was born Orthodox, but I am one of the converts. Why? How? I have to convert to the faith daily. This is a process. So even I was born like in the faith, but I have to work hard. So the kingdom of God is not going to be given to me like for free. I have to work hard. I have to have sweat. I have to go through all what Saint Innocent, you know, went through. All tribulations and persecutions and, you know, like his Tocharian two lines, but it tells us, you know, the whole story of this holy man. So the church is The church is like, as I said, heaven on earth. So let us focus on this as much as we can. It's not about vestments. It's not about, you know, like this. Let us disappear and let us Jesus appear in our midst. Let Jesus, you know, like prevail and be present in this holy community. Someday, you know, like some problem, marital problems or social problems or financial problems or any other problems, you know, will stop us from growing in our spirituality. But don't let any of these problems, you know, block your growth spiritually and piously. So let Jesus, you know, give you the answer. Come to Jesus as when you need him, and we need him at all times. You know, sometimes people can knock on our door. They think that we have all the answers ready for. No, you know, I take time. Now I have a serious problem in one of my parishes somewhere in my diocese. I don't give them an answer like just like immediate answer. So I have to pray, I have to think, I have to wait until the answer comes from God. God is using every one of us. You know, while I am visiting this holy community today, for example, the answer might come to me for that parish from here. If you ask me some question, for example, I take my time. If I can answer that, I immediately give you the answer. But sometimes, you know, I take my time in order God to give me the answer, not any human being. Because if human being, you know, will give an answer to another human being, would be incomplete. So we have to trust God. So that's why we need the church. We need to be in the divine liturgy. Today I was very impressed when I came into the driving way, I mean in the parking lot, and I saw big numbers of cars. And I said to the subdeacons who brought me here, I said, you know, like some churches, I am in the middle of matins and there is no one in the church, just the priest and myself. So be committed. You are doing the right thing. And always keep doing the right thing. Don't let any other power except the power of God guide you. Don't let any other power guide you except the power of God, the guidance of God. And you will get everything you need. And you remember, in the Bible we read, and he tells us that God will give us everything we need even before we ask him, because he knows our needs. So let us trust him and he will give us plentifully. He will give us without any account, because this is the way he loves us. And yesterday there was a question about, and I finish with this, I said, this prayer I did before I went into the altar to fast, I said, I need a permission in the church, even I am the archbishop, but I need a permission, I need a permit or a license to go into the altar. Now, not every time I need to go to the altar, it's like just like for granted, you know, I keep going. No, look this prayer, and it tells you, it answers your question. I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear I will worship toward thy holy temple. How shall I, the unworthy, dare to enter the brilliance of thy holy place? If I venture to enter into the bridal chamber, my garment will denounce me, for it is not a wedding garment. and I shall be cast out by the angels. Cleanse, O Lord, the defilement of my soul, and save me, for thou art the lover of mankind. So everyone, you know, like wants to come to the church, he has to have this environment. You know, in the church, we don't go into the church like the way we go into a restaurant, for example. The church is not about rules, but about our life. We like, you know, like if we like this being in the church to be meaningful, so we have to be apart from somewhere. We have to start from a certain point, from repentance, from being repentant and on. We have to be, repentance doesn't mean like a punishment. Repentance means like to reconcile, to be reconciled to God. You know, when I commit anything wrong, even if I'm not here with you all the time, when I commit, like let us assume that I am in Los Angeles and I commit something wrong, something evil. You know, I hurt you even here without being with you here. So every Christian soul, when he commits anything wrong, he hurts the entire community. Whether here or in Africa or in the Middle East or in here or in there. So we hurt each other in many ways. Sin goes beyond, you know, boundaries and words and sin is the ugliest thing in this life. So that's why, you know, like if you like to be the people of heaven, the children of heaven, the inhabitants of heaven, the citizens of heaven, let us do something. And this church is like a tool to help us start, a correct start. I pray for you, beloved in Christ, and I'm not saying this to scare you, because nothing to be scared. Only the evil one scares us. Only sin, if will continue, it scares us. But there is, you know, big doors ahead of us, ready to open before us and to let us walk into the kingdom of God. Really, free people. You know, when the sin is gone, we become free. So I pray for this holy community. You know what? Why I am saying this? Father Mel said to me, you know, like when I asked him about everyone of this holy community, who is sick, who is not. So how can we heal illnesses if we are not repentant? You know, magical actions won't work in the church. For example, come to me after church, some parishioner comes to me after church, Father, pray over my head, and this is not magical. I pray over this situation, for example, to heal. I pray for the children to grow in a Christian environment and to be protected by God, by the angels, from any evil invasion. I pray for the families. I pray for any disease or for any illness. So if we don't have a heaven on earth, how can we heal situations? Bless you. How can we heal situations? You know, some people took the courage and said to me, you know, like we've been praying forever and nothing happened. You blame those people. They have no clue about the church. Yeah. They are not repentant. They don't know how to be renewed and to start again. A new start, a fresh start. They don't know how to forgive themselves. Most of the problems, you know, in our life remain unforgiven. Most of the time, you know, like we go from one hell to another because we don't know how to forgive each other. Even some clergy ask me, you know, like this question, how can we forgive each other? So, beloved in Christ, the church is to give us all these answers, but not magical. We have to trust God's mercy. So that's why, not by accident, we say, Lord, have mercy millions of times in the church. Are you saying this just to prolong the service, Kathleen? Of course not. So, it's not how many times. The way we say it, the way we talk to God, we will get it. We will get it. God must grant us His mercy in order to be a different community, a different nation, a different human people. So I pray for this holy community, and I pray for every situation in this holy community and in every community. I pray for you. You pray for me. We have one sacrifice, that is the one who offered himself on the cross. And we belong to him. And we belong to him. And he is our hope. He is our answer. May God, the one who offered himself sacrifice, listen and accept, and accept, bless you, accept our sacrifice for our sins and for our sins.